If we have any new friends that's joining us for the first time, welcome. And also, if you have any questions, you may raise your hand. Or you can also send them to me in the chat.
No questions today, Jennifer. Yeah. Interesting.
I think we just give everyone maybe a moment to collect their thoughts from everything that they've learned. Okay, so I'd like to invite Chita to please ask the question.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, Vanessa, thank you for that very beautiful explanation. In terms of a very practical point of view, is that if somebody, in real life, you have these things happening, people come and say something nasty or, presents in a very ugly way. If we just try to be peaceful and calm and invariably we shouldn't be reacting or saying anything, then in the real life, in the worldly life, people then take you for an idiot and make use of you. So that is a very practical thing that happens. It happens. I mean, we have also as Buddhists applied these things, but so I would like you to sort of take that up a little bit more.
Yeah, that is very true, because sometimes people think that we are kind of idiots, kind of stupid, that's why we are not saying anything, we are not reacting, something like that, so they can think. But it is up to us actually, either to react wisely, either to say something wisely, or not to react. So it's a kind of a choice now we have. Now, previously, when we are not developing mindfulness, we are not developing Buddha's teaching, so we didn't have such a choice. We impulsively react whenever someone say blame. So we impulsively react. We start to blame. We start to quarrel. So that's the kind of an immediate reaction we have. But now we have a kind of a choice. So instead of immediately impulsively reacting, so we can step back and look at the process. We can look at, actually can see whether is it really true that what he is telling. Is it really that I did a mistake? Or is he sort of misunderstood my situation? He didn't really understand what has happened. It is someone else's mistake. He is blaming to me for someone else's mistake. So likewise, I mean, when the mind is not agitated, so we have that skill to look at the process or look at the situation much better. With a kind of an unbiased manner, we can look at it. So otherwise, what happens is we also become quite impulsive and we also get into arguments, quarrels, and there is no end. So things become worse. But here, with the application of the Buddha's teaching, so we are in a better position to understand the situation in many different ways. There we can get a proper decision. So either to react here, because, you know, when the other person is extremely agitated, when he is extremely, angry, even if we are telling the truth, he might not accept. Because he is extremely angry. So then we need to understand, okay, he is not in a mood to understand what I am telling. He is not in a mood to, accept what I am telling. So let him calm down. Let him sort of release his pressure. So I can be patient. So later, once he is calmed down, then I can, explain, no, this is not what has happened. It's someone else's mistake. It's not my mistake. So you can handle it properly. You can handle it so that other person then later become ashamed that why he blame like that. So he become shameful of his own reaction. So this is why, I mean, there are many, many suttas or many verses even Buddha explained this. Now there is an interesting verse in Dhammapada. Sache neresi attanam kanso upahato yatha. Esa patho sinibbanam sarambho tena vijjati. So there Buddha mentioned, like a broken gong. You know, when you are hitting to a gong, so it vibrates. It gives an echoing sound. But if it is broken, then there is no such echoing sound. It simply stopped there. So someone hits and that it doesn't echoing. It simply stopped. So likewise, Buddha mentioned, if you are able to stop your reaction, if you are able to impulsively avoid impulsive reaction, then you are a person who is dwelling in Nibbana. So he hasn't actually related to something less. He has related to the Nibbana itself. He is telling you are like a person who is dwelling in Nibbana, because you are not contributing that impulsive situation. You are not contributing to someone else's agitation. So this is where I think it is quite interesting. So we now have a kind of a choice, better option. And either it is suitable, then we can react, we can give an answer, respond, or otherwise we can simply calm down.
Yes, Bhante. So I think Brahma state, we are obviously better off from a state of equanimity than agitation, obviously. And so we can deal with the situation in a positive way with a, at that time or later. But I think in the worldly sense, we do have to very often deal with situations.
Yes, yes.
You can't just walk away. You know, then it is detrimental to the person.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell. So when you understand now at this situation, I have to do something. It is not somewhere kind of a situation, okay, I have to turn back. Rather, I need to help someone or I need to tell something, I have to instruct someone. So likewise, assume that you understand this is a place that I need to do something. So at that time also, if your mind is agitated, then what you are doing is not the best thing to do.
Because
your mind is somewhat perverted. Your mind is not clear.
Yes.
But when you have a balanced mind, when you have an equanimous mind, then you have a better chance of understanding a better decision, understanding a better approach, because your mind is not restricted. And you can see various aspects of the situation and what would be the best solution for this situation.
Yes,
thank you.
So I was trying to do the vipassana, and it was a strange experience where I couldn't feel the bodily sensations. And then I really tried to go back to the body, and then I felt the sensation, the bodily sensation for a little bit of time, but very quickly the mind kind of went into this, I'm not quite sure what exactly the mind is focused on. I just know it's kind of in front, a little bit kind of below, maybe around the, I want to see the around the chest area, but in the front. And the mind is still there. It was very clear. It was bright, but I couldn't, I didn't know what the mind was being mindful of.
Correct. So basically, so when you can't recognize any kind of a bodily phenomena, I mean, you don't need to sort of put too much effort to understand it either, because you were able to understand various bodily phenomena and you were observing them and they started to fade away, and now mind has nothing. So mind is not grasping anything. Mind is not paying much attention to anything. On such situation, you can let the mind relax. Because, you know, so at the beginning, we purposely do something. We purposely use the concentrated mind to watch various bodily phenomena. So that has to do. So once, as a result of that such practice, now later, mind become disinterested about this process. Because everything very much like becoming a plus. So it is not interesting. So mind simply give it up, leave it aside.
let it go. So at that moment, we should not deliberately take another object to reflect. Rather, we have to keep the mind quiet. We have to keep the mind in a relaxed situation, doing nothing basically. So hope you got the point.
Yes, but I want to confirm that, you know, I'm still practicing mindfulness and that I'm not in maybe a state of samadhi.
Definitely. I'm also not talking about samadhi. So we were practicing mindfulness, we were observing various bodily phenomena, we are quite mindful about them. And there is a state, so all these phenomena start to fade away. So there is nothing to watch. So now it's very much like, I mean, it has certain qualities of samadhi, of course, because mind has not agitated, mind has found its kind of a unification, kind of a calmness. Actually, you have to develop it to the level of samadhi, no harm. And later only you have to use that samadhi for the development of the vipassana. But at the beginning, I mean, we need to recognize this state, we need to appreciate this state. And also, we have to develop it at least to 30-45 minutes. So then only we are getting familiar with this situation.
Okay.
At the beginning, it might appear like little boring because there is nothing to do. And you may have various doubts. I mean, why should I do? I mean, there's nothing to do. Everything now have gone. I mean, I feel bored. So you may have those various doubts. And then what you do is you may get up and go to walk and you may find out another object to reflect. So likewise, this is where actually we get misled. So if we know we did proper practice, if we know that we went through good practice and we understood that how things are impermanent and how they are vulnerable and how they are non-governable and not self. And as a result of such wisdom, the mind starts to let go of things, not interested in things. And when such situation happens in the mind, so we have to keep the mind quiet, keep the mind unagitated, unburdened, and not associated, not hold into anything. And that state is unfortunately appear like quite boring, quite lazy. But only at the beginning you feel like that. Later, more and more you familiarize with that state, so you start to appreciate that state.
Yeah, no, I found it to be very peaceful. In fact, it felt more like children and I tried to bring my back to the body. So it had a lot of pain and I was doing for about an hour. So as we continue to practice, this occurrence starts to happen more and more regularly.
Yes, definitely. It may happen regularly and again it may happen quickly. Suppose now it took 1 hour to happen, and as you continue, it may happen within 40 minutes. Later, it may happen within 30 minutes. And similarly, it may start to stay longer time. And that is how it is developing. And it is an improvement. And I mean, our mind become calm, quiet, unagitated. And if you purposely again put your mind back to the body, then you become restless. So we should not do that. That's what I am telling. So it's a kind of a progressive improvement that we can understand. So at the beginning, we do kind of reflection, observation, and we understand the impermanent nature, transient nature, the insubstantial nature of things. And as a result of that, mind become disinterested. And as a result of that, mind start to let it go, and now mind become, you know, something like stable and not holding to anything, not attached to anything. And at that time, we should not purposely put again the mind to something else. So we have to let it be. We have to let it relax, not doing anything.
Thank you. I'm sure that So I think we do that in the session. But I have a question about when God is touching my.
Sorry, can you repeat the question? Actually, I am experiencing some rain, so I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry about it. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I have a question about thoughts. Like, you just go through your day and all of a sudden a thought comes to mind. So that's like a... So according to Sutta today, you tell us to remove the thought as it comes to your mind. But I've noticed sometimes if I, sometimes thoughts come up and things that happen in the past, and if I let it play out a bit, it almost seems like the thought plays out for a little while, and then an insight if something arises. This is the reason why that happened, or almost like wisdom from something that happened in the past comes up. So I'm just wondering how you differentiate between the thought that becomes.
Yeah, actually that we have to decide depending on the situation. Say, for example, you have to do something useful. Say you are given a kind of a task to do. So at that time, probably you have to look at in many different angles to how to implement this, what is the best method. So at that time, different thoughts are available. And so that may be useful thinking. Things are happening under your control and the mind is thinking and reflecting about many possibilities available. And now you select the best possibility. But it is happening under your control. That is the most important thing. So what I'm trying to tell is not that we should completely stop thinking or completely avoid thinking. Rather, what I'm trying to highlight here is that when you need to think, you can think, which is also under your control. And when you don't need to think, you can keep the mind quiet. So that is why what mentioned in the Vitakka Santhana Sutta, where the person is there when he likes or when he needs, he thinks. When it is required, when it is necessary, then there is an advantage, when there is a benefit. But when there is no such benefit, he simply keeps his mind quiet. So this is what we need to find out here. So typically what happens is our mind is sort of tuned to think, either it is useful or not useful, even harmful, mind keep on thinking. So that is where we have to apply break. That is where we need to calm down the mind and keep it quiet. So that we have to decide. Now we have to decide, okay, is this the time to think or is it the time to calm down? Is it a useful thought or is it a harmful thought? Suppose if it is a kind of something that you want to delete from your mind, to remove from your mind. You know that you have some past experience. If you are continuously thinking on that line, so you become agitated, you become emotional, you become upset. So you understand, no point of thinking like this. This is a wrong way of thinking. Suppose that someone has passed away. And you spend many hours, many days thinking about him and you couldn't find any solution because he has gone already. There is no solution right now. Even though you spend many years thinking, there is no purpose. Now you understand there is no point of continuously thinking on him. Right now he has completely passed away. Now it's a matter of finding out how to step back, how to stay quiet, how to keep the mind unagitated, how to again regain my skills, how to return back to my normal life. So that is the constructive way of thinking. So likewise, and once you understood that, even then, still those thoughts may popping up, those past memories, how you spent time with him. But now you are not encouraging it. Because there is no benefit either to you or to him by this way of thinking. Now you know it very well. So you are discouraging it too. So you understand no point of again and again thinking in this line. So at the very early stage, you are recognizing such motivation in the mind, but you recognize it and you understand its harmful nature. And as a result of that, you are discouraging it. So that we need to decide actually. Back to you, Jennifer.
Yeah, actually, that's the last. Oh, wait, never mind. Just got one more. I'd like to invite Sita to please ask the question.
Hello, Bhante.
Yes.
This is my first time joining this session, so I'd like to thank you for sharing your insight. And I'd like to ask, what are some ways to quickly divert one's mind from thoughts of lust in daily life? And are there any particular negative aspects of lust one should contemplate on when it arises? So I think it would be nice to be able to drop those thoughts as quickly as the sutta described. Thank you.
So, I mean, if I understood the question properly, so you are asking, so what are the negative aspects of thinking, or can you elaborate it a little?
Well, particularly like thoughts of lust. When, let's see, I see somebody beautiful and then I start having all those like thoughts of...
Yeah, correct. So that's why, I mean, so we all have those experiences. So say, for example, when I see some beautiful woman, say, so the initial sort of feeling, maybe a pleasurable feeling. So that is the triggering happens, actually, I mean... So it is a common thing. So when I and that form comes together, the eye consciousness arises, and then the feeling is a positive feeling. Feeling is a pleasurable feeling. Now I want to look at further. I want to see her better. Now I am purposely looking at her. Previously I accidentally looked at her, but now I am purposely looking at her. Now this is how we are participating into the picture. And ultimately what happens, now I am going to various fantasies and, you know, various mental proliferation. Now, you all have that experience. So similarly, when you see someone which you don't like, so assume that you accidentally saw him at the beginning. But it has figured out some sort of a painful feeling in your mind. Now you look at him further and you want to either try to get rid of him. And you are, even though you even turn your head away, you still start to get various memories with respect to him, what caused you, say, kind of unhappy in a past situation. So likewise, so all this triggering happens inside. And if we allow that thought or that thinking to develop, then ultimately we are the ones going to suffer. So that is what we learn through Madhupindika Sutta. So what it mentioned is that if we encourage that harmful thinking, it is harmful to myself, and if it is not being controlled, then it even harmful to another person. Because suppose that you saw someone and he is a kind of a not a good person, and you become agitated, you become unhappy, you become angry, and you start to blame, you start to cry, you start to shout, and you both start to quarrel. So that is how Buddha mentioned, I mean, all these different unskillful, harmful states going to arise. But the opposite is what Buddha recommend. So are you in a position to calm down yourself? It is true that mind has become agitated. Now you mindfully recognize that agitated state. Okay, I have lost my temperament. I have lost my calmness. Again, mind has become agitated. So it is a harmful state. It is harmful to me. It is harmful to another person. Again, I am now prone to get angry. I am prone to get on to a quarrel, argument. So you give a sign, kind of a warning to yourself. So I should not go into that such a kind of a situation. So likewise, more and more we develop mindfulness, so we are able to understand this process at its early stages. So with weak mindfulness, we can't do it. With weak mindfulness, actually, we may recognize it only when we participated into the situation. We are regretting about what has happened. But later, as we continue the practice, so start to recognize the burning mind. But still, we are not going to react. We are not going to an argument, not going to a quarrel. We can at least stop at the level of burning. But later, as we continue the practice, we don't come to even to the burning state, but we understand the very inception of the thoughts, very early stages of this process. As a result of that, we can quickly calm down. That is why the kind of a progressive development is there. Now, the Buddha has given various the best references. Say, for example, when you see through your eyes, if mind become agitated, and you are going back to that unagitated state like a blink of an eye. So that is the best option or the best scenario. But at the beginning, we can't do that quickly. But as we continue the practice, so we are able to sort of achieve such a situation. So that is why it's a kind of progressive development, because more and more the mind dwells in that unagitated state. More and more mind associates kind of a peaceful state. So then even the slightest distraction, even the slightest shift from this baseline, you start to feel. So you start, now I have lost the baseline. I have lost my equilibrium. Because equilibrium is more peaceful, just the least friction time, least friction zone. Now, due to some triggering coming through eye, ear, nose, tongue, mind, so due to some kind of a trigger, impulse, again mind has become agitated. Now, you are able to understand that very quickly as you progress.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. So if I understand you correctly, it actually doesn't really make the difference of what kind of feeling it is, if it's aversion or lust, if it's a positive feeling or negative, as long as it makes you agitated, you should recognize it as soon as possible and go back to that peaceful state. Is that correct?
Exactly. Because, this either lustful or anger are the two extremes. When we attach to someone thinking that he is beautiful, she is beautiful, so that is the attachment side. On the other hand, when we are becoming angry, he is a nasty person, he's a bad person, so that is the other extreme. So the more fruitful is to be in the middle. That is where Buddha encouraged us, even in this Indriya Bhavana Sutta, etam santam, etam panitam, yadam upekha. This is peaceful, this is calm, this is sublime. That is the equilibrium. That is the equanimous, unassociated, calm state.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you, Bhante. I believe that's all the questions we have for today.
Okay, fine. So thank you very much for all your participation. Then we can wind up the session. And by going through this Sutta teaching session and participation into the discussion, we have accumulated of merits, and we'll share these merits with the traditional verses. Etta vata ca amhehi sambhataṁ punya sampadaṁ sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sambhatti siddhiyā. Etta vata ca amhehi sambhataṁ punya sampadaṁ sabbe bhūta anumodantu sabba sambhatti siddhiyā. Etta vata ca amhehi sambhataṁ punya sampadaṁ sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu mam param. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය හිමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය හිමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු.